We come to Genesis chapter 39. We come to this message, Success in Adversity. We know that life is full of adversity. Different problems of different kinds come to us. Difficulties of varying degrees come to us. And we time and again remind everyone that you have to live a little bit longer than you will realize that life is not a bed of roses. And don't ever think that the Christian is spared troubles of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, warns us that precisely because you are his follower, you are going to face with severe persecution, misunderstandings, and people are going to abuse you. So all this will happen over on top of what we share in common with mankind, because mankind is fallen. Sin is in us. Sin is in the world. We face trials of various kinds. But when you have faith in Jesus Christ, more trials will come to you over on top of what you experience as a human being. But we know that if the Lord is with us, all will be well. That is the teaching of Scripture. That is the promise of Scripture. It does not mean that we are spared the troubles, but God will still be with his people even in the midst of trouble. And people are often amazed at how God's people thrive well even in the midst of adversity. And today's passage shows to us this teaching that God will give success to his people even in the midst of adversity. And this truth is brought out to us in the life of Joseph, who was sold off by the Ishmaelites, or to the Ishmaelite merchants. If you remember in chapter 37, how his brothers plotted to kill him and then decided to sell him off to the Arab merchants who were traveling down south to Egypt. And then if you look at chapter 37, verse 36, we are told, now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. See? Joseph suffered much. Yes, that is true. But God bless him, as we will see. And he will have success even in the place where he faced adversity. And this is not going to happen just once. It will happen again and again, because God had a purpose for Joseph. And it brings across to us the truth taught in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. If you turn with me briefly to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, you will see that the incident concerns Eli, the priest of God. And there, Eli was serving God, but he was serving God only in name. It was a routine. Along the way, his heart was actually not fully with God. And soon you discover that the fruit of it showed. His children went astray. The children helped him in the temple, in the place of worship, and along the way abused their authority. And as a result, God came not only to judge the children, but he was going to judge Eli, whose heart had already gone astray from God. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, straight away, this is a warning to us. You notice that we never leave the applications to the end of the message. from the beginning, we must see that God's word speaks to us. God should speak to you. And here, straight away, you see the application that you can in name call yourself a Christian. But your heart may be far away from God. You may be coming to church, but it is only a routine. It is only something that you do, that you are so familiar with. You may carry a Bible. You may even utter prayers. But is your heart in your prayer? Is your heart here with you now? Do you come to seek to know God, to face with God? Now, it is a dangerous thing to just keep on a form of religion that is without power in it. Okay? Be very careful, because the fruit of it will show in due time. And in the case of Eli, his children went astray, even though they were putting on a form of religion. And the time came when God had to declare to him that he was going to cut off Eli and his family from serving him. See, do you want that to happen to you? See, if God is speaking to you, please take heed and do something about your spiritual life. And the truth that is being taught in today's passage concerning the life of Joseph is simply that God will honor those who honor him, but those who despise him will be lightly esteemed. So that then is the lesson we are going to learn. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How is this truth brought across to us? It is brought across to us in the success of Joseph in Potiphar's house. Verse 1 to verse 6 shows to us that Joseph was sold off to Potiphar. But before success came, you must understand that he went through suffering. Adversity came to him. How did he suffer? Now just think, put yourself in the place of Joseph. See? Now he would be trusting in his brothers. He was being faithful to his father when his father sent him to inquire, to seek out the welfare of the brothers, to find out how they were. And that was what he did. He did it faithfully. And little did he expect trouble from his own brothers. But his brothers hated him, disliked him. And even though they were brothers, they were prepared to want to kill Joseph. And you saw how close Joseph was to death. Joseph could have been killed. Joseph could have been dead by now. But no. See, God has still a purpose for him to carry out. And Joseph was preserved. And instead of being killed, he was sold off to these strangers, to these merchants. And again, think of Joseph. Now, try to picture yourself in his situation. You see, the confusion and the terror and the fear of seeing his own brothers wanting to kill him. And now being sold off to these foreigners. And imagine the long journey down to Egypt, an uncertain journey, a journey in which he did not know what would happen along the way and what would happen at the end of it. And once he arrived in Egypt, imagine him being taken together with all the other slaves and being paraded in the marketplace. And here came the rich tycoons, rich datuks and tansris, came to look for a slave to buy. And so this man Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard in the king's palace, the king of Egypt in Pharaoh's palace, this man called Potiphar came looking for a slave. And he came and zoomed in on Joseph and said, "This man, how much does he cost?" And he bought this man, and Joseph was taken home to be his slave. Okay? Now, you compare with the life of Abraham, there's such a contrast. Abraham tried to go down to Egypt, but he was expelled from Egypt. You remember that occasion, how he lied about his wife, and along the way, see, the Pharaoh discovered what had happened, and then he told Abraham to leave, because the plague came upon his house. See? And So Abraham was told to leave Egypt. So Abraham went of his own will, but he was driven out. But in the case of Joseph, he did not want to go, but he was retained. Now God has his time, God has his purpose. God long ago promised to Abraham that the land of Canaan will be given to him and his descendants, but they are not going to occupy that land until the fourth generation. And they will be strangers, they will be in another land for that four generations before they are allowed into the promised land. We see this in chapter 15, verse 13 of the book of Genesis. And this was beginning to be fulfilled. Joseph was going down to Egypt. He was going to stay there for the rest of his life. And later on, the descendants of Joseph, of Jacob, was going to go down to Egypt. And they were going to be there for over 400 years in fulfillment of God's prophecy to Abraham. Now, if you work out all the biblical data, you'll find that the time when Joseph was sold to Egypt was round about the year 1900 BC. Remember that we start the calendar from the time Christ came to earth. Then we work forward. So now we are nearly 2000, we are about 2000 years from the time of Christ. Okay. Now if you work backwards, so the bigger the figure, that means the further away it is from the time of Christ. So you work backwards to 1900 years ago, before the coming of Christ. That was the time when Joseph was sold away to Egypt. Now if you were to study history, you would understand that that was the period where Egypt was a major civilization. It was flowering. See, trade and commerce, art and industry, everything was there. Okay? Writing was already developed. People were buying and selling. See, it was at the peak of the culture of Egypt. Now, Egypt went through various cycles of cultural revolution. And in fact, that was the second cycle. So Egypt had known the great development. And at that time, this Joseph was sold away to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of the king of Egypt. See? And you note that in this first part of the passage alone, the name of the Lord is mentioned four times. And when it is spelled with capital letters, L-O-R-D, throughout, you know that it is the translation of the word Jehovah. So the God of Israel, Jehovah, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, Jehovah was going to be with Joseph. Look at verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord, Jehovah, was with him. See? And that Jehovah made all he did to prosper. See? And then if you look at verse 5, we are told, so it was from that time he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph. See? And the blessing of Jehovah was on all that he had in the house. So from the start of the passage, we are made to see that it is God who took the initiative to bless Joseph. And Joseph was a person who continued to believe in the God of his fathers, the true God, the God Jehovah. See? And how did Jehovah bless Joseph? We can summarize it or reduce it into three areas. First, in his relationship with Potiphar. He found favor with Potiphar. And for a man like Joseph, a young man, a foreigner, being sold away to faraway Egypt to this stranger, Potiphar, and then to find favor with Potiphar. Now that is a great thing. Now you just think of your son or your daughter going overseas to study and then getting to know a family who is kind to your son or your daughter. Now you feel relief, you feel appreciative. Now in the case of Joseph, He wasn't going there to study. He wasn't going there to pay for his education or anything like that. No, he was being sold away. He was sold away as a slave. And yet God gave him favor in the sight of this man, Potiphar. Now, how thankful Joseph must have been. And then, secondly, in all that he was entrusted to do, God favored him. Joseph seemed to be able to do all things well. The Lord was obviously with him. When entrusted with a job, he did it well. When entrusted with any responsibility, he carried it out well. See, that is the second area of blessing. Then you discover that blessing came into the house of Potiphar for the sake of Joseph. And we are specifically told that blessing came to the house of Potiphar, and it was all for the sake of Joseph. Look again at verse 5. Then we are told, so it was from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. See? And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. It's repeated to give emphasis to the point that Jehovah caused the blessing not only to come upon Joseph, but to come to the family in which he was working. And it is a truth taught in the scriptures that often, see, whenever a Christian comes into the midst of a group of people, the blessing of the gospel begins to be felt there. In the family, when one person is converted, the blessing of the gospel begin to come to the family. Now, it does not mean that God will save everyone in the family automatically, simply because one person is saved. But what it does mean is that often it is because God wants to bless the one who believes in Him, who trusts in Him. The blessing overflows to the rest in the family because of the abundance of God's blessing. God blesses His child. God blesses the one who believes in Him. But because of the abundance of His blessing, the blessing overflows to be enjoyed by others in the family. That is often the case. And often it is that God uses the one in the family to be a shining light, to give the others in the family the opportunity to come to know the way of salvation as well. And that is why we are not surprised that when one in the family is saved, another might be saved. And although not all, perhaps 10 persons in the family, not all 10 persons will come to true faith in the Lord, don't be surprised if at least one other and two others will in due time come to true faith in the Lord. And don't be surprised if in some families 5, 6, 7, and in some unusual families all 10 come to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be surprised, because God is abundant in His blessing. He desires to bless everyone. The problem is that we are often unworthy to receive the blessing of God. And if one person is already saved in your family and you get the chance to hear the gospel, you get the chance to come to know Jesus Christ for yourself, but along the way you squander away that chance, you throw away that opportunity, you just despise the opportunity God has given to you, then of course you are not going to benefit from the blessing of God. And of course you will remain unsaved. You will forever not know who the true God is. Now, that can happen. Yes. And what happens in the family happens to the community as well. Often if there were some Christians present in the community, you discover the community is blessed because God desires to bless His children abundantly. The abundance of that blessing somehow flows to that community, and the community derives good from the presence of the Christians there. But sad to say, often it is that the unconverted in that community may not see this, and they may not appreciate the presence of the Christians. they oppress the Christians and finally cause these Christians to flee, or to they make life so difficult for them that these Christians have to get out of that community. And sure enough, once those Christians leave that community, you discover the blessing of God is withdrawn. Spiritual darkness descends. Immorality becomes rampant. And you discover that society begins to break down. See, that is a fact. A fact. It is a fact. Right? And we see here that was what was happening to the family of Potiphar. Somehow, by the presence of Joseph, his family was blessed. Now think of the many ways in which the blessing could have appeared. Perhaps, you see, Potiphar has some children, and the children were drawn to Joseph, the young man who has come into the family to work. And along the way, through the influence of Joseph, they were more cheerful, they were happier, and they worked harder at their school. They began to have good results. And then the parents come to realize, hey, you know, before Joseph came, see, our children were so naughty or so irresponsible or so lazy. But with the coming of Joseph, they are different. And similarly, Joseph began to have an influence over the other workers, and the workers worked harder. The cows were milked and were fed properly, were cleaned properly, and so the cows were healthier, they produced more milk. And Potiphar come to realize, hey, everywhere Joseph went, blessing came to the people. Everything that Joseph touched, blessing came to those things. So in all these ways, God blessed Joseph. God blessed him in his relationship with Potiphar. God blessed him in all the works done by Joseph. God blessed that family itself for the sake of Joseph. Now focus on Joseph's person. See, how was it that he was so blessed by God? Now, for one thing, you must note that he never forget his God. Throughout, his God is mentioned by name. The Lord, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So Joseph, despite his difficulties and despite the fact that he was a young man, he had known the Lord. The Lord was obviously in his life. And you are going to see all through his life, he kept a close walk with his Lord. So that is one thing that you must understand. We are reminded of another young man in later years, the prophet Daniel, how in adversity he did not forget his God. Remember Daniel and his friends? In their teenage years, they were taken away to Babylon, to a foreign land. And while there, undergoing training to serve in the king of Babylon's palace, Daniel and his friends made up their mind that they would hold to their beliefs. And when they were given food that had been offered to idols, they nicely but firmly told those in charge of them to say they would not take the food that had been offered to idols. And they put it in such a way that it assured the people they were not being difficult. They were saying, you know our beliefs. You know that we worship Jehovah. If only you would just try us out. Give us fruit, give us vegetables. Don't give us this meat that has been offered to your idols. And you see how God blessed Daniel and his friends. And so it is possible for a young man, for a young lady from early to have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, and therefore knowing the true God. From early it is possible to have true faith in the Lord. Faith that is clear, faith that is strong in such a way that they will be blessed by God. Then the second thing to note about Joseph is that he served Potiphar he was serving the Lord. He did not look upon the man Potiphar and despise him or was angry with him, was unhappy with him, but he knew that whatever he demanded, his master demanded, he would do. Why? Because he's doing it as unto his God. And as we have noted, he's a man of God, and therefore he was going to do all things for the glory of his God. And given that situation, he was going to do work for Potiphar as though he was doing it for his God. And we know the Bible's teaching throughout that if you have true faith in the Lord, it should be reflected in your life and in your work. And this is where, in the place of work, if you have a bad reputation, you are known to arrive late, you are known to quickly get out of the office when others are still working, you are known to be sloppy, never doing your work well, you are known to be a person who cannot be trusted with any responsibility because you are going to mess it up. See, you are known to be a person who cannot be trusted in your words. Now, that is bad testimony. What sort of Christian are you if in at a place of work you do not shine? And similarly, for those who are studying, if in the place of study you are known to be lazy, and known to be a disturber of the peace, you never listen to your teacher, and you're always late handing up your homework, and you're always failing your exams, and what sort of testimony are you? What sort of testimony? You fail once, and you fail twice. How many more times do you have to fail, see, before you learn? See? So that is why, when there is true faith in a person, we expect it to be reflected in the way we work. A person who truly knows the Lord will show that he works for the glory of his God. He will not be doing eye service to his master. He does work for his earthly master as though he is serving his God. So that was obvious in the life of Joseph. Then, extending that further, we dig deeper, we come to know that this Joseph was a person who in his adversity would not wallow in self-pity. He would not say, you know, look at how difficult my life is. Look at what a bitter life I have lived. Look, you see, which one have suffered more than me? You see, he was not bitter. He was not having self-pity. He was not sulking away in his difficulties. Instead, he just lived out his life of faith in whatever circumstances he was in. You discover that he did what was right in God's sight. He did not seek pity from others. Now, what is the point of pitying yourself? You expect people to have sympathy with you and come and put their arms around you and shed some tears together with you? Do you feel happy simply because of people showing some sympathy for you? But you have to live your life. These people may show sympathy to you for just the moment, but then they have their own life to live. There are greater responsibilities in their life compared to yours. See, to them, your problem is your problem in the end. They show some sympathy, they have to move on. Now you have to handle your situation in the end. Now if you were to continue sulking in your situation, you are not going to move anywhere. And at the end of the day, you discover you are the loser. You are the loser. Now think back on the parable of the talents, how the Lord Jesus Christ said that the master gave 5 talents to the man, and that man produced another 5 talents. He gave the 3 talents to the man, he produced another 3. He gave 1 talent to the man. Now what did this man do? I've given only 1 talent. Others are given more. You see, I'm not as good as them. See? And he just buried the talent in the ground. When the master returned, he just took it out and said, here is your talent. You are a hard man. You take from what you have not labored for. Now, I return this to you. See? Now, what was the outcome? He was taken away. He was taken away to be severely punished. Now, this is a picture of the unconverted man. A man who ever thinks like that cannot possibly be a true child of God. If you are so bitter about your own situation, you wallow in your self-pity and you do nothing about your life and you look upon the Lord as being so unfair to you, and there you are. You will not be blessed. Okay? But Joseph was not like that. Joseph was never going to wallow in self-pity. Instead, he trusted in the Lord, and with a sweet spirit and in simple faith, he walked with the Lord. So these 3 things at least can be said. Okay, we say it again in reverse order. Now, we look at how God has blessed him. Now look at the person of Joseph. He was worthy to be blessed. Firstly, he did not wallow in self-pity. See, despite the adversity he was facing. Secondly, he served his earthly master as though he was serving the Lord. And then thirdly, he always remembered his Lord, even in his adversity. All through life, he was going to serve his Lord. Now, for such a man, do we not see that he truly is worthy of all the blessing God has given him? He truly deserves it. He truly deserves the success that we saw in his life, that we see in his life. So you see here that Joseph experienced success from the Lord. Not worldly success, but success in the eyes of the Lord. The success, the blessing of God in Potiphar's house. Then, secondly, we see him having adversity in Potiphar's house next. Now, towards the end of verse 6, you discover a note of warning coming in. It is as though the sun has been shining, everything has been fine, we are happy. And then, what is that? You discover a dark cloud is forming, and the dark cloud moving towards your direction. And that is ominous. It warns us of potential problem coming. Hey, heavy rain is going to fall. Hey, the floods are coming. So you better be careful. Yes, you might say the cloud may be temporary only. Maybe it will disperse. It will not gather and become a large black cloud of rain. No, it might be blown away. Yes, that is possible. But wait a moment. While the sun is shining, while everything is well, while you're so happy, take note of that cloud. Take note of that cloud. The danger is that when you are happy, when you are being blessed, when everything is going well, you do not take note of that dark cloud that is forming. Okay? And this is what happened to Joseph here. We are told at the end of verse 6, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Yes, some people in life are blessed with good looks, but the problem is that instead of being an advantage to you, it becomes a snare. It causes you to fall, see? And that is when you become proud and you are unable to handle the blessing of God he has given to you. Okay? Now, this Joseph, he was good looking, just like his mother. You remember the same description was given of his mother. We are told he was handsome. Handsome means good looking in form and appearance. In form and in appearance. Look at this man. It's not just his eyes. Look at him. Oh, some people have nice eyes, beautiful eyes. Hey, it's not just his nose. It's not just his mouth. It's not too big, not too small. You know, it's not just that. Look, see, it's not just the face that is nice. He is actually well-built, well-formed, proportionate, really attractive because he took after his mother. If you were to look back at chapter 29, look at verse 17, you see there the description of his mother. Now, there were this Leah and Rachel in verse 17. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. See? And Joseph seems to have taken after his mother. He was blessed with good looks. Now that would have been alright. That would have been no harm. That would have been an added blessing of God to him if he were careful. But what happened was that it became a snare to him. And thank God that he maintained his integrity. What happened was this. Potiphar's wife was casting lustful eyes upon this man. And so this is not a simple woman. Bu jian dan, we say. This is not an ordinary woman, you see. You look at this young man. Hey, he's good looking. And lust begins to stir in her, you see. And she was obviously a very worldly woman. She moved in that type of circle. She's so used to that type of talk. And she's so used to thinking like that. So she wanted her way. She obviously was a strong-willed woman. So a lustful woman, a worldly thinking woman, a woman who is strong-willed, who wants her own way. Just think of such a woman. Which woman have you met in your life who is like that? See, which woman? I hope it's not you, you know. You know, in the book of Proverbs, we are told, you know, that so many times we are told, it is far better, you see, to face with a more difficult situation than with a woman living under the same roof who is like that. You know, a roof that is leaking, pop, you know, it troubles you. And here is a woman who is constantly being a trouble to the husband. As you picture this woman, you want to laugh, and yet at the same time you see the reality of the situation. If you are harnessed with such a woman under the same roof, habesa, what can you do some more? You see, you look at the looks of the woman, you just are attracted to the looks, you see, and you got married hurriedly, and here you ended up with a woman, her true character shows, you see. And Potiphar had such a wife, see, a wife with strong will, worldly, and here he's so carnal. She, you can be sure, we have learned this lesson time again. When the sin is committed, trace back, you discover that the mind has been playing about with that sin before that. And you discover that there is a pattern in the person's life which is uncontrolled, and that's why along the way that sin manifests itself. Okay. So whenever a sin is committed, it is seldom, extremely seldom, that it was committed suddenly out of the blue. It is because you have been weakened along the way. It is because you have been drawn away by temptation. It is because you have forgotten your God along the way. That is why you finally commit this sin. And so in the case of Potiphar's wife, who did not know the true God, she must have obviously been involving in this type of talk and been engaging in this type of activity. She must have been moving in this type of circle where the women folk gather together and they boast to one another the man whom they have conquered. And this woman, therefore, when she saw Joseph, she cast lustful eyes upon her. And one day she picked up courage and just came so bluntly to Joseph in verse 7, lie with me, no. Come and sleep with me, come and spend the night with me, see, come, let us have sex together. She was so blunt, so forthright with Joseph. And of course, imagine the young man, no, what, why, but why? He gave three reasons, okay? Joseph gave three reasons. Huh? And from verse 8, you can see that Joseph responded well. He refused to do that, firstly because it will be a betrayal of the trust the master had put upon him. Hey, look, the master entrusted me with everything in this house, everything I have the right to handle except for his wife, you see. Now, how can I betray this trust, you see? The master had been so good to him, to the extent that the master did not know how much money he had, how his business was doing. He just knew that everything was well. If you look back earlier in verse 6, you discover that Potiphar did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Imagine such a man. He trusted Joseph so much that Joseph had the key to the safe. Joseph could sign the check at any time. Joseph could do anything in the household. Anything in the household. He did not have to worry. He needed to worry only about his food. What am I going to eat next? You see, that's all. You see, he trusted Joseph so much. And Joseph said, you know, with such trust, how can I betray my master? You see, now you will be the most ungrateful thing in the world. Huh? It will be unthinkable. Now, to this man, this righteous man and this godly man, he was not going to do that. And secondly, Joseph told this woman, now you are his wife. Now, it's impossible, it is not right. It is not right. Now, This is a truth that is burned into the conscience of everyone in the world. See? Because marriage is a creation ordinance. It's not something just for Christians. It is for all people throughout the world. We know that one man must have one wife, and that relationship is sacred. See? So how can I ever break up that sacred relationship? How can I ever think of breaking up somebody's marriage? It's wrong, it's wrong. See? Then thirdly, it will be sinning against God. And Joseph is saying that I'm a God-fearing man. I want to serve my Lord. God knows all things. God has blessed me so much. How can I do such a thing against my God? So he wouldn't do it, see? And Joseph subsequently behaved wisely. Every day this woman is trying to find left and right, finding ways to attract Joseph's attention. She is trying to find a way to get near to Joseph. She's trying to find a way to be alone with Joseph. Just read what it says there, you see? In verse 10, so it was she spoke to Joseph day by day. And what did Joseph do? He did not heed her. Now here was this woman who had come to specially talk to him. And he would be polite to her and quickly divert the attention to elsewhere. This woman would arrange things such that she would want to be close to Joseph. Joseph would quickly walk away to the company of the other workers. See how Joseph was just avoiding this woman, and he refused to be with her alone. Okay? So Joseph did the right thing. Okay. But what happened is, this wife of Potiphar, she is the mistress of the house. She is in control of the running of the family. One day, things were such that Joseph went to work without suspecting that this woman was ready for him. So what happened is that no one was around. Everyone was outside. We read of the servants being outside, being out of sight at least. See? And this woman came, and surprise, surprise, she was so very bold to the extent of grabbing Joseph. What is Joseph going to do now? You know, being confronted with a situation like this. She began to get hold of Joseph physically. Now Joseph knew that this is a desperate time and desperate measures needed. As the woman grabbed him, he struggled, want to get out, no matter what, get out. And in the struggle, his outer coat was pulled off him. And Joseph didn't wait to get back his coat, he just ran out. See? Flee from immorality, flee from temptation. Joseph understood that. He ran, he went out. See? And what happened is that this woman, she's rejected. See? She's rejected. And not many people can take rejection well. See? And that's why a lot of problems in relationships, even legitimate relationships, yeah, result in people behaving very, very funnily and very, very out of place way. Even in normal relationships, when things do not work out, when a person feels rejected, you see how they respond. If you are unable to take rejection well, you discover that you begin to act contrary to what you know to be right. And this woman, she would not take rejection. She's being humiliated, being rejected. So she didn't take rejection well. She was angry. Hey, this young man. See? She was frustrated. See? And no, she's going to get her own back on this young man. So she began to shout out to all the servants, and all the servants rushed to her. And she said, look at this coat. Look, it's that young man's coat, you see. Look what your master have done. And she tried to put the blame on her husband. You imagine how crafty she is. In order to win the hearts of all these servants to be on her side, she said, look at your master. He has brought this foreigner into our house, and this foreigner now has the temerity to come and try and rape me. See, see, See? And so when the husband came back, she told the same story to Potiphar. See? And of course, you can't blame Potiphar for being angry. See? Anybody would be angry. Any husband would be angry. And so here Potiphar was angry. See? And so what did Potiphar do? Potiphar confined Joseph to prison. He was captain of the guard. And he had the authority to send Joseph to jail. He sent Joseph to jail. And remember, the whole kingdom, the prisoners were kept in that jail. And for Joseph, who had never experienced such a thing before, to be thrown into the company of crooks, murderers and rapists, now, it's not going to be an easy experience, but that was what happened. Joseph was thrown in to be among the prisoners. Now, the question that comes to mind is this. Hey, it is a known thing that for such treason, for daring to go against the trust of your master, actually that deserves death. Why wasn't Joseph put to death? That has caused scholars to speculate that perhaps in Potiphar's mind, he had some doubts concerning his wife's story. Okay? And that is well possible, because for one thing, Joseph all this while had served so well in the family. No problems had arisen. There was no indication that Joseph was capable of doing that. And Potiphar, in fact, has known Joseph, being the older man, being the more experienced man. He looked at this man's eyes, he already could see that this one is not capable of that, you see. And the wife, her character would be known so well to Potiphar. And if she is one of those who is always nagging, and always insisting on her own ways, and moving in that sort of circle of high society ladies, would not Potiphar be already know? Of course, Potiphar knew the wife's character, and when that story was spun and put to him, he was angry at first, but along the way, he looked at Joseph, he saw the fright in that young man, he saw the unhappiness in that young man, the protestation on his face as he tried to explain that it wasn't the case. You see, Potiphar must have felt doubt in the accusation, so he did not put this Joseph to death. Instead, he consigned him to the prison. But wait a moment, don't forget God in the background. God was at work in the heart of Potiphar. God was at work in order to protect Joseph, because God has more work for Joseph to do. And that is the truth of scriptures. See, although you could possibly have died, but if it is not God's time for you to die, no bullet will touch you. Nobody will be able to take your life if the time for you to die has not yet come. See? So God certainly had more work for Joseph to do, and since it was not the time for him to die, even though he deserved the death sentence, if that charge were true, he was preserved. He was preserved. So don't forget the hand of God behind all this. Okay. Now the question to us, you see, this, we really have to press home spiritual lessons as we go along. The lesson to us is this. Now Joseph was preserved in order to serve the Lord further. See? Now if you have been preserved from so many accidents, so many dangers, so many situations which you already know of, which could have killed you off, and that is not counting the many occasions when you could have died and you didn't realize that. See? But counting only those occasions that you could have died, and yet you did not die, you have been preserved. See? But do you look upon your life as a life of service to your God? Or do you just take for granted, yes, God, thank you for preserving my life, but what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? With the case of Joseph, he was going to continue faithfully serving his God. He was going to be ready to be used by God. He was a man who was at God's disposal. What God wants him to do, he's ready to do. See, where God wants him to go, he's ready to go. He was ready at God's bidding. And that is the challenge to us. When we have been preserved for so long, after so many occasions when our lives could have been taken, we have not given up our life to the Lord. We have not served Him as we ought. And that is the challenge to us. Okay. And then we move on to see not only adversity in Potiphar's house, now the next cycle of success. Now it is out of Potiphar's house, verse 19 to verse 20. So we have looked at success in Potiphar's house, verse 1 to verse 6. We have looked at adversity in Potiphar's house, verse 7 to verse 18. Now we come to success out of Potiphar's house, verse 19 to verse 23. Okay. So what happened is that he was sent to prison. Okay. But what happened in prison? What happened? See, God showed mercy to him. And again, the personality, the gifts, even the looks of Joseph were all used by God in such a way that he found favor with the man in charge of the prison. And again, the same thing that happened in Potiphar's house happened in the prison. Just imagine, in the prison, he was being entrusted with one responsibility. He did it well. He could be trusted with little, then he was entrusted with more. And so with time, the prison officer, the one in charge of the prison, was so confident of Joseph that he virtually handed the whole bunch of keys to him. It's easier if you can walk in and out at any time. It's easier if you can do your work among the prisoners. So instead of being a prisoner, being watched over, he was now entrusted with watching over all the prisoners. And he was given such freedom, such liberty, and such trust that he was virtually a prison officer himself. And the trust over all the prisoners was such that he was virtually the one in charge of the prison. Feel. Hey. Babe, salute God. We say, Joseph, you really holy, yeah. You know, you're really good. But it's not Joseph who is good, you must remember. Joseph would be the last to say, I'm good. No. He would say, my God is good. Jehovah was good to Joseph. Jehovah blessed him even in the prison. See. So all in all, you just consider, he faced adversity in his home and was sold away. But he was blessed in Potiphar's house. He faced adversity in Potiphar's house and was sent to jail. But he was blessed while he was in jail. Now what is God doing with this young man? If you were to flash forward a little bit, you would come to realize God was actually preparing this young man for greater service. God was preparing him for greater adversity. God was preparing him for greater responsibility. And finally, he was going to rise up to be the prime minister of the country. A foreigner running the whole country, just next to the king, just below Pharaoh. But he virtually had the power to run the whole country. See? Now, if Joseph had not been a responsible young man while at home, taking care of the father's sheep, helping him to check on his brothers, to pass messages to his brothers, if Joseph had not been faithful in Potiphar's house, if Joseph had not been faithful in prison, would he have been able to run the whole country? The answer is obvious. Okay? So you see the step by step, the way God was leading the man. You see step by step how God was preparing him to hold greater responsibility, to be more greatly used by God. And that is why we must not despise adversity in our lives. The teaching of Scripture that constantly come across to us is that God does not deliver His people from adversity, Rather, he gives them strength to face the adversity. That is the teaching. So if you are constantly running away from difficulties, you are running away from any responsibility, you are running away all the time, now how are you going to develop your character? How are the gifts God has given to you going to be developed? How are you going to be entrusted with greater responsibility? It's only those who have been faithful in little who will be faithful in much. Okay? Now more than that, God was going to use Joseph to save his family. See, because of his wisdom and his ability, he was later going to accumulate enough food to last the whole of a severe famine that was going to come. And it was not only going to benefit the people of the nation, but of the surrounding nations. And it was not going to benefit other people only, but it was going to benefit his own family. His father and brothers in due time were going to seek help in Egypt. And who would be there to help them but Joseph? Joseph. Joseph was going to be the one who fed the family. Otherwise they would have died in the famine. And because we have never experienced famine in our lives in this part of the world, many of us simply do not understand how severe it can be. Now look at some of the accounts. Read some of the accounts of what happened in times of famine. How people scrounge around for food in times of war, when food is rare, when you find in times of drought, when there's no water supply, not sufficient food is produced. People just scrounge around looking for any scrap of food to eat. They will dig the roots of plants to eat. They will just pick up anything and cook. They will pick and chew. They will just try to survive by any scrap of food they can find. Okay? And many die. Many die in a famine. Many die. Okay. Now in the case of Joseph, he was going to be used by God not only to deliver others, but particularly his family. His family, his immediate family, the people of God. The people of God. And don't stop there. That's why in studying scriptures, you must think, you must ponder and see the hand of God in all things. You must think, it was not their immediate hunger that was assuaged. Okay? It was not only their lives that were saved at that time. But think of the many generations down the line. This family, this big family of Jacob was going to come to settle with Joseph in Egypt. They were going to multiply. They were going to be there in bondage, suffering affliction just like Joseph did. But on a mass scale, they would all be afflicted. And the time would come when God will raise up a deliverer, namely Moses, from their midst. And Moses was going to be the one who led them out of Egypt. See, at God's time. At God's time. It should not be anything earlier. It should not be anything later. It will be at God's time. You cannot force God's program one way or the other. At God's time, the mighty deliverer will be raised up. At God's time, they will be let out of the place of bondage to enter the promised land. And you know that the story of the Exodus from Egypt to go to the promised land of Canaan would be used by God as an unfolding of His will concerning the salvation of His people in Jesus Christ. Yes, the history of the Hebrew people will in fact be the story of how sinners are going to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing. All because this young man, Joseph, was faithful to his God. And God was going to use him so tremendously far beyond his imagination. Beyond what he could think. off. God was going to use him to such an extent. And that is how we must see what we can be in the hands of the mighty God, if only we would place ourselves in his hand and be used by him. And you know the story, that when Jesus Christ came, he came from the glory of heaven to this, the suffering of this earth. His humiliation consisted of him giving up the glory in heaven and coming down to the place of sin, to be made sin for his people. How he died on the cross, all because of wanting to save for himself a people. And we know that by his death and resurrection from the dead, he saved his people. And the story of Joseph points us to the coming of Jesus Christ, that one day the Savior would come. He will be humiliated, but he will also be exalted in due time. And the purpose of it all was to die on the cross of Calvary to save his people. Just as Joseph was going to be used to save his people. God intends the story of Joseph to show to us that the way of salvation will be found in the Savior God has appointed, namely Jesus Christ. That is why, as we draw to a close, we see the lesson that those who honor God, God will honor. And all this is possible only if we come to trust in the Savior God has appointed for us, namely Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you now know the full significance of the teaching of the Scripture? Those who honor me, I will honor. May God save souls, even here today.